Our scripture reading will come from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And the Bible reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine, therefore, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Oh, we're very happy for your presence this morning. We're glad that you have both the presence of mind, the desire, and that physical ability to be with us. It's so good to see you. Appreciate Leon doing double duty here this morning, as he has both led us in this very sincere and fine prayer to the Heavenly Father, and now in this reading of this very, very important passage of Scripture that actually is going to serve for at least part of the lesson this morning. Before I make any comments, though, about the passage of Scripture that has been read, which we will do later in the lesson, a few days ago I received a very touching email from my daughter Susan, and I want to read this to you for the purpose of launching our lesson this morning. Susan says, "Dear ones, we knew a family in Ohio through PTA. The dad had an affair and left the family for the other woman. The mom and the kids had to move out of their gorgeous house and move to a much smaller house in a less desirable neighborhood. The mom had to find a job, and their lives changed forever. I'm thinking there were three kids. Corey was a year older than Steffi, and I'm guessing now Steffi is maybe 15. And Megan was a few years younger. I think there was an older son, too. We found out last night that Corey hung himself. His sister found him. His dad had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he lost his job. I just can't imagine what else Pat, the mom, is going to have to endure in her life. She's so sweet. Please pray for her and those that are left behind." Well, heartrending. A account, a story, an event that is repeated over and over and over again in this sin-sick world. What does the world need? Have you given some thought to that? We hear of this kind of thing that goes on. And you ask concerning the family that Susan mentions, What defenses do they have? To whom can they turn? In these very real, heart-rending, sin-sickened events, all coming about through selfish desires, all coming about on probably an unsuspecting family, what does this world need? Have you thought about that? Well, without a shadow of a doubt, as we think about how can I help? What is it that I might possibly be able to do to pray for people like this? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But what can I do to help? What does the world that is so caught up in this sadness, in this sin, in this sorrow, what do they need? The world needs Jesus. Oh, there is just no doubt of that. Do you know that there is no social program that our government or any society has ever been able to come up with that can answer the needs of a family like this? What could you suggest to them? What can they do in view of this vast sorrow? They need Jesus. Just as our friends and neighbors in Richmond, we turn on our television sets day by day and we hear of all of the crime. We hear of the murders. We hear of all of the terrible things that are taking place. What does the world need? Oh, they need Jesus. Why? Well, God knew that the world needed Jesus. As our Heavenly Father looked down on this old world that was so possessed with sin and sorrow, He said, there is only one real solution. They need my Son. Jesus is the light of the world. When I look in John 8 and verse 12, the scripture says that Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, are you listening? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, this family, every family, they need Jesus, who is the light of the world. If we follow Him, we will not walk in darkness. Husbands will not act the way this man acted. The family will have instruction. They will be able to see light at the end of all of this terrible distress. God sent Jesus to save us from our sins. The words of the angel to Joseph, in order that he would be willing and ready to receive the son that would be born, said, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. That's what the world needs. The world needs forgiveness. They need to have a way in which their sins can be taken away. This is the time of year in which the world, probably men and women, as they never think about it at any other time of the year, remember the child that was born in Bethlehem. And the message of the angels to those shepherds was, Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the world. For born this night in the city of Bethlehem is a Savior, Christ the Lord. In Jesus. Do you know what you can find in Jesus? Complete forgiveness. complete forgiveness. Surely Corey, if he had just had that kind of information, would have been able to have dealt with the treachery of his father. His father. If he had had that light of the world to shine into his life, if he had recognized, I can be forgiven. If Pat, the mother, could have understood, there is hope. I can have forgiveness of my sins. I can make my life worthwhile. Jesus said, the Son of God has come in order that he may seek and save that which is lost. What does the world need? Well, the world needs the gospel. Now, I know some people have difficulty in making that kind of transition as we are talking about the world needing Jesus. And the world, those probably who have never thought about it, may be prone to say, well, why can't we just have Jesus separate and apart from the gospel? But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. In order to have Jesus, you have to have his teachings. In order for Jesus to mean anything to this world that is so set in sin, the gospel has to go to them. It has to go into their minds and into their hearts. Why? Because it is the gospel that is going to provide directions and correction in morals, in family, in serving God and man. People who think in terms of what we need is a government that will take care of all of the needs of man. And if we just have the right social structures that are set in place, that's going to take care of the United States, and that's going to take care of all of the problems that we face. But no, that's not the solution. You say, why can't the world get along without the gospel? Well, without the gospel, there is no standard of morality. What this father did in the betrayal of his family is what every other family could experience. It is only the gospel that sets forth the true standards of how you ought to live, how you ought to think, how you ought to act. And they're able to tell us not only about our service to God. The gospel tells us about our service to one another. How husbands ought to treat their wives. How wives ought to treat their husbands. How that when we take those vows of marriage, we really, really mean it. Not good enough to say, well, at one time I was in love with that individual, but now I've fallen out of love. Well, if you had that terrible accident of falling out of love, you better learn how to fall back into love. And in the meantime, to treat your mate with all of the respect that is due them. Children learning what is to be their relationship to the family. fathers and mothers recognizing the heavy responsibility that is placed on them to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Oh, had that happened years before in this Ohio family, what a different story would be told. We said that Jesus is the Savior. But you know, it is only as people hear the terms of the gospel that they can be saved. That's why the grand apostle of old would write in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Men and women, regardless of their station in life, regardless of their circumstances, need to understand that faith, that Jesus is the Son of God, is absolutely essential to their salvation, to their spiritual well-being. All the world needs to learn the meaning of repentance. To not only just say verbally, vocally, I'm sorry, but to determine for every lust, for every temptation, for every place and every way in which Satan may tempt the world to do wrong, that the world may hear through the gospel, repent. Repent. Change your mind. Change your way of action. And yes, all the world needs the waters of baptism in order that their sins may be washed away. And on that glorious day that it would take place, that individual, every individual, would be able to have the knowledge that they had come up out of the water as newborn children of God. All of those past sins, all of those transgressions, all of the evils that they had committed in thought and word and deed, forgiven. The world cries out, oh, if I could only start over again. And that's what the gospel tells us how to accomplish. The world, yes, needs to hear about Jesus and to hear the terms of salvation, and make no mistake about it, they need to hear about the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Way back when Philip went to that terrible city in Samaria and he began to preach to the people, the scripture says in Acts 8 and verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, they were baptized, both men and women. Don't hesitate to tell men and women about the kingdom of God. While you are teaching them about faith and repentance and confession and baptism, be sure that you tell them that Christ has a true church, that he has a church that will enable them to grow and to be saved therein. What does the world need? The world needs Christians who will show the way. The world needs Christians. The world needs you to show the way. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Have you heard this old song, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love"? Do you know who is to provide that love? Christians. Jesus taught that lesson to the lawyer. When the lawyer asked, "Which is the greatest of all of the commandments?" And Jesus said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your being." And then he said, "The second is likened unto the first, to love your neighbor as yourself." Dear friend, are you so caught up with self that you've forgotten to love your neighbor? What if there had been, and I know that there are Christians in Barberton, Ohio, what if there had been Christians that had gone to this dear family that was in distress and shown them the hope of salvation? Christians who love their neighbors. Are you aware of the problems that your neighbors are facing? Are you doing anything about it? Christians who will not imitate the world, but who will be pure in their practices. Abraham recognized that he was just a stranger and pilgrim here on earth. But Peter says to those of the sojourn in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. What the world needs now is pure Christians who will abstain from fleshly lusts." What does the world see in you? What do the citizens of Chesterfield County and Henrico and Richmond, what do they see in you? What they need to see are these shining examples of people who not only know the Word of God, but they practice what they preach. Oh, Paul writes to those at Rome, and he recognized that there were some of the Jewish people who were so possessed with self-satisfaction, and they thought that they had great bragging rights. In Romans 2 and verse 17 following, "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness and instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, 'Do not commit adultery,' do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. as it is written. And taking our cue from that, those of us who tell our neighbors how important the church is, that Jesus died in order to establish the church, that the church is the bride of Christ, that there is only one body, is the world able to see in your practice that the church is important? Do they see you on a Sunday morning with a Bible under your arm, as it were, heading off for Bible study bright and early? Or have you convinced yourself the world doesn't need that? That your neighbor can still believe the church is important to you? And if you want to miss a Sunday, if you want to go here or go there, so what? What difference does it make? You who teach the law, do you teach yourself? You who say, we must partake of the Lord's Supper not three times a year, we must partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Do you do that? Or is it hypocrisy? The world needs Jesus. The world needs the gospel. And the world needs you. Take heed to yourself, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will both save yourself and them that hear you. Are you being true to the truth that you know? If you've heard the gospel over and over again and you've rejected it, you have to ask yourself, what kind of hypocrite am I being? If you've obeyed the gospel and you're not living up to the expectations that God has set before you, you have to ask yourself, what am I pretending to be? Will you answer the gospel call as we sing?